Science can't explain everything. Just because you can't see me doesn't mean I'm not here.
Thank you for joining me, everyone, and welcome to Paranormal Encounters podcast series. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the host and the producer of this show. Sit back, grab yourself some popcorn, and let's get started.
Be careful what you whisper.
Yes, indeed. As they say, let's get creeped out. Tonight we have a very interesting guest in the house. Please welcome to the show my guest, Mary Jo Chudley.
Well, good evening, Mary Jo, and thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. And I am very excited to have you on this show because we're going to go into chartered territory that might be just a little bit spooky. So everybody, you just sit back, grab a blanket and maybe some popcorn because we're going to have an interesting one with Mary Jo tonight. So, Mary Jo, one of the things that I start out with on this show is I like to have people introduce themselves from, as you can say, the early age going forward. So we're going to go back a few years here to the earliest age you can remember and tell us a little bit about how you became, I don't want to say involved, or something happened that seemed a little bit out of the ordinary. So regarding either the paranormal or anything else.
Okay, so the earliest I can remember, I don't know the exact age, but I know I was little. So I don't even think I was in kindergarten yet. But when I lived in a house down in the city, which is Philadelphia, we lived across from four different cemeteries. It's actually in the Guinness Book of World Records, but we lived across from that. So at the time, I didn't know any of that. But I used to always see things coming up the steps, coming in my room. And I was always screaming at my parents, there's stuff, I see people, I see. And they weren't like humans. They were more like white, flowy. That's all I can remember, is white and flowy. If anybody ever saw the movie Poltergeist, when they were coming down the steps, that's kind of what I remember seeing all the time. And it just would scare me to where I wouldn't go. I didn't like the dark. I didn't like anything to go upstairs. It totally scared me. So I would see that a lot until we moved out of that house, which I think I was aged around 11 or 12 when we moved out of that house. So I was in, then I was probably like in middle, no, I was still in elementary, but late elementary. And that's when we moved up into the suburbs where we went to a different house. And then I would hear things walking up the steps. I would see a hat man all the time in my hallway. But I always would experience that stuff just walking up the steps and in that house. So it seemed like every house I've been to has been haunted of some sort.
Mm-hmm. So if you don't mind, what state, you don't have to say the town, but what state were you in at the time for your first house?
The first house I was in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Okay. So I guess most people get curious about wondering, many of us who have had experiences, especially at a young age, have been met by our parents with different reactions. It's all in your imagination. There's nothing there. Go to sleep. There's nothing under your bed or in your closet. So you're young and you're seeing these things floating around in your house. So what was the reaction of one or both of your parents regarding that first time that you said, holy, you know what? What were their reactions like?
My father, when I was younger, he worked like 4 or 5 hours away. So it was my mom taking care of me and my brother mostly. And then we would see him on the weekends because we would go up there to where he was and stay in a campground for a while. Campground where he would stay before he worked. So yeah. He wasn't, as a child, he wasn't around a lot because he had to work. But so it was always my mom. But I remember she was, it's fine. God would protect you. You're fine. God's here with you. Nothing's going to hurt you. And then a couple of times she, like when we moved into the second house. She said, oh, the top hat guy, that's like a cowboy hat. That's your grandfather. Oh, that's your grandfather. You're fine. So that's basically, she always would tell me, we're good. God will protect you. You're fine.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So it sounds to me like you had quite a spiritual or a religious backing or background behind all this. Did you, would you agree that maybe this is where those types of reactions were coming from, was the belief system of your mother? And was she a real avid churchgoer at that time?
She was always a churchgoer, but when she was younger, she got really sick. And if I remember correctly, I think she had pneumonia. Okay. And she woke up when she almost died. She woke up and she would always tell us this, because she was never afraid of death ever. She said she saw Jesus, and then she saw both of her angels on either side, and they were standing there looking at her. And I remember her telling me that they never spoke. They never used their mouth. She knew what they were saying. And that she said that this is not your time, but I will come back for you. And that was it. So she always told us that. And she didn't tell a lot of people that, because she was afraid that people would think she was crazy. So when I told her I would see things, she was, don't worry, everything's good. God will protect you. Because she knows that there is something after death, because she saw it. But you know, she would always would tell us that. And she was very high up in the church. She was a deacon. She did a lot of stuff in our church, a lot. We went to, you know, church every Sunday. And we did the vacation Bible school. When my kids were born, we would still go, and she would take them. And Mary Jo, you have to go. I don't care how tired, you have to go to church today. So she would make us go. But she was very, very religious and, you know, and very, very active in our church.
Mm-hmm. One of the questions people always have in mind is they're very fascinated to learn and to always find out that somebody actually lived next to or across from a cemetery. And it sounds like in your first house, that was the case. Am I correct on that?
Definitely. I didn't know at the time, but as an investigator, yes, it was pretty intense living there. I remember as a child, I remember being just so scared, not even wanting to go out to go to the bathroom. And I'm like peeking around looking for things. Yeah, I was terrified. Even, like, my mom talked about it later in life, and she was like, yeah, you were terrified. Even going to your grandmom's house that was down the street, and she lived across from the other part of the cemetery. She goes, you were always like that. You were always scared of things that you would see at nighttime.
Hmm. Did you ever just meander through that cemetery? And was there any kind of did you ever have any kind of an interaction in there? And what age would that have been if that happened?
So we used to go over there. So how our house, if people know anything about Philadelphia, you kind of live in row homes. They're all one big home together. So we had the one row home, and then across the street was grass. And then it had like a bushes, and then there was a cemetery, but where I can look from my windows and everything, there's no graves. So the graves were further down. Mm-hmm. I'm saying further, but as a child, it looks like a long way, mm-hmm. but it was very hard to see from our windows. Mm-hmm. But they were further down. And I remember me and my brother going over there, you know, just to play and stuff. But then there was a lot of, you know, it's right near the L, which the L is a train, you know, in Philadelphia. And so, yeah, a lot of people walk in there. Some people would fall asleep because they were drunk the night before. So we didn't go in there often, but we did, like, we were supposed to. We actually found a hamster. Somebody actually put a hamster in a box one time. And it was poor thing was passing away. But my mom, we all walked to the vet down the street, and they put him down. But that was probably the last time I've ever walked there, because I found that hamster. Mm-hmm. That's always, I remember as a child, because I was a child. So that was mentally terrifying for me to find that poor thing half alive in a box, still alive, you know. But that was the last time. But I've never remember seeing spirits as a child there, or seeing anything weird. I just remember that hamster being in the box and never wanting to go back in there again, because I didn't know what else I was going to find in that cemetery.
Yeah. Well, children particularly would probably put their focus on an animal before anything else. That sounds like a very normal thing that would occur. And of course, a person is going to feel for that animal a lot more than pay attention to anything that might be lurking around in a cemetery, especially when you lived in an area that had unusual or additional activity that went on in there as well. So now, as you're getting older, my question that would go to you next would be your ability to go beyond your senses and actually, I'm thinking about you starting your research group or your paranormal research group, unless that came at an older age. But was there anything that happened with you? Now, you went to house number 2, okay, mm-hmm. and you still had experiences there and stuff. Yeah. So what was the next type of level do you think you went when you went to that point? Like, what was going on in your mind then?
So this room here, it's good. I don't want to confuse anybody, but this room here is my childhood room. So this is the second house. Mm-hmm. I'm in my second house. Okay. So both my parents, my father died at 47, my mom died at 67.
Wow.
So yeah. So right before my mom died, she was going to sell the house, actually a couple years before she died. And I said, I want this house because my dad was with us. This was like my family home. Even if I wanted to rent it out, I still wanted to keep this. Mm-hmm. So this actually in this room was my room. And behind me is the steps. So that's the steps that my bed would be next to when I would hear things up and down all night long, up and down all night long. And even when my children lived here, this was my daughter's room. They had the same experience up and down the steps, up and down all night long. That's all they would hear. So they even had the same experiences here. But when I was a teenager, I had friends, and I'm 47, going to be 48. I had friends that Wicca just came, like, I guess it started to be more popular and people start getting into it. I had a friend that was a Wiccan, and it was like a longtime friend. She came in here, this room one time, and did something. And all of a sudden my door started to rattle. And I'm like, what did you just do? Like, what did you just do? And I was like freaking out. Cause again, I'm scared of this stuff because I knew what I used to see. And she goes, oh, it's fine. It's fine. Well, that's when I start seeing more stuff in this house. And when I was out with her one time, she actually turned and looked at me and her eyes went black and then said something in a different voice that wasn't hers. I literally jumped out of her car and ran home, and I'm a big girl. And believe me, it didn't take very long for me to get home. After that, I was experiencing a lot of weird stuff, which I haven't told a lot of people this, but I have told people this next thing. I was getting so scared. I kept on getting thoughts of demonic in my head. I kept on seeing the devil's after me. And I just kept on, I couldn't think about it. I couldn't like even watch a movie that had anything that said the devil or demonic, could not, because I felt like it was trying to say, you can take me. It wanted me to say, you can take me. And it would give me nightmares. It was the weirdest thing. I can't explain to anybody, to where I'm 16 years old and I'm laying, which is the other room, on my mom's floor by her bed, because my mom was like my protector. Mm-hmm. So I was laying on her floor. So she would get up in the morning and step on me. And this happened for months. And finally, she goes, what is wrong with you? Why are you sleeping on the floor? And I broke down and told her, like, I'm afraid of dying. Something's trying to kill me. And that's exactly what I remember saying to her. And I feel like the devil is trying to take something, the devil's trying to take me over. And that's all I can say, mom. It's all I can understand. And I'm scared to death. And it wakes me up at night. So we directly went right to our church, and they and just kept talking to me, you're fine. And finally, within about, I would say, 3 or 4 months, it stopped. It stopped, but I didn't want to think about demonic. I would even, like, again, still wouldn't watch movies. And back in the high school age, that's what people were watching back then, Pet Sematary, stuff like that. And I could not physically watch it. There's me watching Little Mermaid and and like Beauty and the Beast, and I'm 17 years old.
I was gonna say, at the age of 18.
Yeah. Yep. I could not watch anything. I mean, I did watch Pet Sematary, and that one part where the sister came out the thing, that was it. I was done, turned it off, and stopped, and I couldn't watch anything for a while. But that physically, like, something, I knew something was trying to attack me. And I don't know if it was from that friend that did something that she didn't know what, but something physically tried to come after me, or I think that God knew what I was going to become, or what I had to do as I got older, and had to give me steps of things so I can build up my tolerance or my faith, is what I can say, so I can deal with what I have. So if that makes sense.
Oh yeah. So I'm curious, of course. When I was age 16, where I lived, I used to have the devil show to me in my mind many times for harassing me for at least a good 2-3 years. And it would literally show in my mind and laugh at me continuously. And it drove me nuts because I couldn't figure out if I was causing the anxiety and creating the image of the devil or what. But I am curious, did you ever get a picture or an image of this devil that you felt you were being harassed by?
Yeah. And also, like, at that time, I was very bullied in school. People don't understand, like, when you're, I guess they do. If you're heavy, people would really, back in the day, like my age, they would really bully you. There was like no law. Like, there was nothing like they do now. Like, you can't do this. You can't. So I got bullied all the time. So I would cry all the time. So my thing was, it kept putting in my head, if you come with me, if you accept me, I will take this away. And that's what I kept getting. But my thing was, and the image that I remember was, I remember it was a, you know, a pointy nose. I remember it having dark eyes, but it also was a bright color in a way. But I remember just being spokes and then the horns. Yeah. I mean, it was, I guess it was kind of the typical devil, but I remember it's always that same image. And I have not seen that same image really in any other thing except for one picture that I found one time. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, yeah. So I was just like, yeah. But now I can look at them. But before, I could not look at them.
Mm-hmm. In your house, in the room that you're in, or in the house that you're in right now, right?
Yeah, because she was actually over here when this is where my bed used to be. I don't know if I'm pointing the right direction, if you can see me. But the bed used to be right there, and mm-hmm. she said something, and I wasn't paying attention because I was sitting. We're hanging out after school, and yeah, and that's when the door, and I'm like, oh my god, what did you just do? And then not that far after, that's when her eyes went black, and then she just turned her head and looked at me. Well, actually it was that way, and just said something in, and it wasn't her voice. Well, that totally, and it's funny, is I still know who I still know her. I still am friends with her mm-hmm. on Facebook and stuff and social media, but I stopped talking to her because it scared the crap out of me. And I don't know if she even remembers any of that. I'm sure she does. She still does the practice, but back then it was nobody really, like, I don't know, people knew what they were doing, or, you know what I mean? So that was a scary time in my life because I didn't know what to do or who to tell, because you didn't talk about that stuff mm-mm. back in 94, 93. You never talked about ghosts at all.
When she left, did that continue on, did you say, for a few years after that? Did it ever end at some point?
I'm trying to remember so the door wouldn't rattle, but like I said, like when my daughters stayed in this room, because mm-hmm. I moved out at a very early age, because I think I was 19 when I moved out of here mm-hmm. and bought my first house. So the 19 or 20, somewhere around that age. I'm bad with ages, by the way. So it was like 19 or 20. So I moved back here. I was probably 36, maybe a little bit older, maybe my 40s, when my early 40s, we first came back here. So my kids were a little bit older, but yeah, they were hearing stuff all the time, mm-hmm. all the time. But my daughters had really bad anxiety. They did. Yeah. But then again, their father, not my husband now, but their father also had very bad anxiety mm-hmm. and like mental issues. So I don't know if that, you know, and that's that age when, you know, that stuff happens, and the pubescent age, and, you know, we're seeing black shadows everywhere. And I wasn't sure if it was them contributed to that, or if it was the house doing it. But I just made a joke. I'm like, just make a joke. It's Mr. Blackie. Say hi, Mr. Blackie. Okay. And I said, just ignore it. And they did. They did. And thank God, because it kind of settled down. But again, I don't know if it was them or the house. Mm-hmm. But I see black shadows all the time, but it's what I have in my house. I ignore them. I don't pay no attention to them. Mm-hmm. And they kind of just go by, do their thing. Mm-hmm. And I just totally ignore them.
Mm-hmm. other than hearing those footsteps or rattling of the door or anything like that, cupboard doors flying open, things flying off those things? What else did you encounter there?
I don't remember anything moving here, like nothing flying off, nothing like that. But I got married young, but we still lived, like me and my first husband, we lived in this home. We stayed in this room actually when we got married, and I had my son. Mm-hmm. So my first son's his crib was in the corner over here. Mm-hmm. And I remember waking up one night and just feeling this ungodly nasty thing in that corner. Didn't see it. I felt it. And I'm like, oh my God, it was out of nowhere. I just woke up out of nowhere. And it's not like I had that feeling all the time. It was just out of, like, I knew something. And I'm even getting the chills in the back of my head thinking about it. It was that bad. Mm-hmm. I went over and I grabbed him. And where did I go? Right to my mom's room.
Of course.
Like, mom. And my husband was sleeping in the bed. I didn't even wake. I went right to my mom because I know she was spiritual. Mm-hmm. Our family's spiritual.
Right.
So I went right to her. She says, okay, we'll pray. And we did. And I didn't want to put him back in that crib, but when I came back, it was gone. And then another time we actually moved out of this room and went to, my dad had an office and we changed to our bedroom because we were saving up for a house. Mm-hmm. We went to that room and I heard in the baby monitor, it sounded like it came from one wall, it got loud and it dissipated. So it seemed like it was just kind of going in and out, but they were singing, it was whistling Old MacDonald.
Ugh.
And I looked at my, at the time, husband, I'm like, go in there. He goes, I'm not going in there. I'm like, go in there. Shane's in there. Go in there. I'm like, yelling at him to go in there. He would not move. I got up and I ran in here, grabbed my son, and again went to my mom's room. I'm like, mom. I'm like, it just sang, it whistled Old MacDonald through one wall to another. It went right into this room. And she goes, Mary Jo, it's your grandfather. He used to work on a farm. I said, okay, mom.
Yeah, sure.
My son in my room and he stayed with us that night. But yeah, that was, and then right after that is when we moved out. But that's the only times that I remember that really like bothered me that I remember, you know.
And so I find it incredibly brave and fascinating that we would be watching as this interview is occurring, the very room where this activity on that show happened. Am I correct on that? Or this is the room, right?
Yeah, this is the room. But you know, the haunting, they made their own room. They had their actors. So that obviously wasn't my house. But yeah, this is the room that everything took place in. Yes.
Okay. And so let me just take a peek. Okay. Yeah. I usually look into the camera here. Right behind Mary Jo on the left-hand side where the cross is, right underneath it, is what is that doll's name again?
Her name is Lily Mae.
Lily Mae, and she was on the show. And then the other doll was it was Gretchen. Yep. And is Gretchen somewhere near you, or do you keep them separate?
Gretchen usually sits in her chair right next to that doll. But I bought Gretchen a new dress because her other dress was like, because she's been to a couple Paracons, it's kind of ripping. So I borrowed this beautiful dress and she's downstairs in my dining room because I was going to put it on her. And I haven't put it on her yet to bring her back up here. But yeah, she's downstairs. But usually she's up here with the rest of them. You come in my house, it looks very normal until you walk into this room.
Yeah.
This room is totally different from the rest of the part of my house. So yeah, but she is downstairs because I was going to put her new dress on and I just haven't had the time to.
Well, and I have a picture and people will have seen it by now in the introduction and of the dolls that were featured on the show, but there are actually different dolls that were on the show. Can you explain to them so they're not confused, because they're going to see the dolls that are actual, Liliana and also Gretchen, but the ones on the show were different. And the reason for that was because of why?
They're trademarks. So the ones that Amal and Alexander doll, for people that collect dolls or are a little bit older, they know what they are. And the other one, I don't know, Gretchen, I don't know what kind of doll she is, but they cannot put them on the show because they're obviously trademarked by somebody. And it's kind of like the Annabelle and the Raggedy Ann doll. They had to use the scary Annabelle doll for the movie because they cannot use that she's a Raggedy Ann doll because they can get sued. So my guess is they didn't want to be sued a haunting because of using the dolls, and the people who trademark it might be mad. So they had to, an artist actually made those dolls.
Tell us a little bit of what you can about that journey of how this all kind of came about.
So for you that don't know, I'm an investigator. So we were kind of locked down in COVID time. And I bought this house from my mom. Some of her stuff was still in it because she didn't clean up. She kind of sold it, moved into an apartment, and was little by little taking some stuff when she needed it. So she passed away suddenly. So whatever's here is here, obviously. I was up in the attic and I found a box full of her old dolls, which is like a Shirley Temple doll, Madame Alexander dolls, a little bit older dolls. So I brought them down and I was like, let me do some of this, like clean them up, scrub their faces. And they're I don't know what kind of material, but they're thick plastic and they're sticky. And oh, it was just horrible. So I'm like, well, I'm going to, and a lot of them were naked. So I'm like, well, let me find the dresses, stuff like that. So I was Googling, searching, and doing a lot of like Facebook yard sale to find them so I can drive there to get them. And, you know, the porch pickup, you don't have that interaction with people. So I found the one doll that did have the dress that I needed. And I reached out to him. So that's how I got these dolls. But he had to sell them together. And I said, I only wanted the one, which is the cute one, which is Lily. I only needed that one. They said, well, he's like, you have to take both. So we played a weird game of like tag to get this doll, which I didn't understand, like why I was playing this tag with him. So I did get them and he left them out all creepy. The neighborhood was creepy. They're all staring like I was in some kind of horror flick. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on here. Let me just grab these dolls. And in this show, you see me kind of grabbing them and throw them in a car because that really did happen. But they couldn't use Facebook yard sale again because they can't use that. So they said on the show that, they got a pamphlet or something in the mail, but basically it was Facebook yard sale. And so I threw them in. I was joking. I got home to my husband, like, this one's gonna be Gretchen because she's scary looking, and this one's gonna be Lily Mae. That's how they got their names. It was just a joke. I threw them up in my, it's now the paranormal room, but this was my craft room. I do a lot of arts and crafts. So I threw it up in here and just didn't bother with them after that for a while. And then that's when I start getting sick. Like really sick, legs started to swell. Everybody thought I had COVID. We started to go back to work because I work in a medical field. We weren't off very long. And that's when the girl at work said, you're not acting right. You're like slurred speech. You're missing your words. I'm like, no, I'm fine. She's no, you're not. So I had to go to an urgent care type thing. They did blood work. They thought I had COVID, but like, this is not COVID. The next day they called me and said my hemoglobin was at a 6. Mm-hmm. And you technically 5, you can die, you stroke and die. Mm-hmm. So there was like no oxygen, no iron left in my blood whatsoever. So emergency room I went. I was in like the worst trauma unit because I guess they thought I was going to code, gave me blood right away, another transfusion within, I don't even know how many hours it was, but usually they only give you one transfusion. They wait, they just kept on flowing me with blood. They did every test under the sun to see where I lost all this blood and could not find it. Mm-hmm. Couldn't find it anywhere. Every test you can imagine. So, they couldn't find it. They were totally didn't understand what was going on. Mm-hmm. I had to keep on getting iron transfusions weeks after that. Then finally somebody said to me, one of my friends, they said, it's the dolls, get him out of your house. I said, it's not the dolls. And I had actually multiple people tell me, no, you brought those stupid dolls home. You know, they're the dolls. I'm like, it's not, everything is not haunted. It's not the dolls. I would know things would be going on in my house and they're not. Well, I just one day put him out in my shed to see if I could prove them wrong. Went to the doctor. I think it was like the next day, the day after, to get another transfusion. He asked me what I do. I'm like, what do you mean? What did I do? He goes, your iron just went up like out of nowhere. Yeah. What did you do differently? I didn't want to tell him I put a bunch of dolls in the shed. Yeah. So I knew. So I left them out in the shed for a while. And then finally I got that, that urge that the demonic does was drawing me back, making me feel like it was getting eaten by like rats and stuff. And I kept on feeling bad. So finally I went out there, I took them out and I put them back in this room. And I actually even bought him a chair. I put him in the chair and I said, listen, you can stay in this room. You will leave me alone. You will not touch me. You will not touch my husband. You will not touch my dogs. You will leave us alone. The The minute you touch us, you're going out in the shed. You're going to be living there for the rest of your life and rotting, and the mice are going to eat you. It was good for a very long time. And then again, being bored, everything's still on lockdown pretty much. And I'm doing like investigations with them, which I know better. I shouldn't have, but I wanted to show that they are haunted and which one was haunted. And I kept investigating them for a while, and people got to know them online. And then I had a case that somebody thought their house was they had a demonic presence. I kept telling them, you don't. So I brought some frankincense that I had here, but I bought a new bowl to burn it. I burned it downstairs, and then the shit literally hit the fan in this house. Mm-hmm. Does anybody know if you have anything demonic? You burn frankincense, it's going to be pissed. And this thing was pissed, and then attacked me like you would not believe. Mm-hmm. So that's how that all started. And that's how I found out what it was, from just burning a simple thing of frankincense in my home.
What other ways did this thing attack you? Were you getting scratches? Were you having nightmares? What else were you going through?
None of that. That's why I didn't even think it was, and I worked on some really bad cases where I was getting nightmares. I was having stuff happening in my home. Like, it was attacking my own home just because I was working with to get rid of it. So like, none of that. It was not like nothing, not waking up. But my husband did hear, like, he would hear voices, and he'd be like, are you talking? I'm like, no, I'm not talking. I'm sleeping. You just woke me up. He would hear stuff, but I never did. Mm-hmm. And never had, it was within 2 weeks of having those dolls. That's how much. And I have blood work before. And I, like, you know, before I had the dolls, because I always get blood work like twice a month or twice a year. I just had it not that long. My blood work was normal. And then, of course, I took it in the hospital, and right before I went to the hospital, and it was a 6. Now it's a 13. So like, I get it checked a lot more. If I don't feel good, I have an on-standing order. If I don't feel good, I get my blood checked, just because I know what I have here, just to make sure nobody tries to drain me. But yeah, mine's a 13 now. It's good. But yeah, you have to do that when you have these things. People don't realize, even mediums. A lot of I don't want to say who, but a lot of TV mediums, they have to get blood transfusions because these things attack them. They drain them. I don't know how, because I don't know that, because I'm not a medium, but they drain your blood. And it is insane. You'll hear a lot of people say they need iron transfusions and blood transfusions.
You had to use a specific type of wood and put certain things in there. And that would be plexiglass, not regular glass. How come?
Well, the demonologist that I worked with, he also works he blessed Annabelle and stuff like that. So I knew him from being an investigator, and I reached out to him. I did reach out to the Warrens too. And they said, this is how they make Annabelle. This is how they make the cases for the Warrens. So again, it's natural wood. You have to soak it in holy oil, a certain oil that they use. I soaked it. I actually have videos of all this, because I always videotape everything just to keep it for evidence. But I baked it out in the sun, and as soon as it dried, I did it again. We had to do it 3 times. Mm. So it took a while for that, because if it rained, you had to wait till the rain stopped.
Right.
So, and then, so we did the natural oil and then the sun baking. And then they told us you can use glass, but they said they can break that easier. And once they break that, you know, but also the glass is a little bit more thinner. They say the plexiglass is thicker, the energy really, it's hard to bounce off, is what they explained to me. Mm-hmm. They said I didn't have to use plexiglass or anything. I can have one big box, mm-hmm. but if you want to be able to not have to open it, and you can see everything's okay inside and still there, then make sure you put some glass in. That's the only reason we put glass, or not glass, and plexiglass in there. Mm-hmm. And it's probably the most thickest, expensive glass you can buy, because I did not want that thing breaking.
Yeah.
And she did have lights in it. They're burned out now. And I'm not putting my hand in there to replace them. Absolutely not. So it's going to stay there.
Mm-hmm. So my question to you is, have you experienced that yet at all with that box that you have in there with the plexiglass, a vibration at all, as if the energy is trying to get out?
No, not with her. No, but the dog cabinet behind me would open all the time.
Oh, really?
So that would push open, and you'll hear it go click, mm-hmm. and it just opens up. And of course, that's why we had cameras here. We caught it many a times and I stopped recording because, you know, how many times you're going to see a cabinet open up? But it'd be random times. And I had stuff in there to check the temperature and this and that. It could, anything. I had four different cameras hitting four different directions. I'm like, well, some of your camera came in a door. Oh, there, but I capture it every angle because I don't know what, but you can see it like vibrating and then they go click and it would open. And it's a key. So the key's missing. I have no idea where the key went to. They took it. They put it somewhere. I have no idea. And then I have to slam it shut. And there's the piece of like metal that goes in the back. So I don't know if they lift it up and then put, I don't know how they do it, but I've caught it so many times. I still can't debunk it, but never from that one. So, which is weird. I don't want hers to open up because it's not locked. Oh, I'm sorry. It is locked. It has a,
I was going to say you have a padlock on there, don't you?
No, it's a little like, what do you call it? It's a push thing that goes into
thing, and then you can turn it down or something.
Yeah. So it hasn't moved, but it, again, she's got medals all around. She's got cards inside with different Bible passes in it. They told me I could sketch it into the wood there, but I had to get it in contained because it was literally physically attacking me, attacking him, like mentally, you know, and it was horrible. Black shadows constantly going after it. We couldn't sleep. It was like doors opening and slamming like you would not believe here. So it was totally different when I found out what it was compared to before that. Mm-hmm. As soon as I knew it was bad, that's when it really attacked us, mm-hmm. like really bad.
Well, a lot of people want to know, and I know they're asking the question because I can hear them screaming at me. So I'll ask the question. You know, you hear it a million times, Mary Jo. They're going to say, well, why don't you get rid of it? Why don't you get it out of your
house? I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, I know. Because everybody's screaming it at me right now and I can hear it. So it's like, yeah, but Mary Jo explained to them, and I had talked with Mary Jo a little bit before the show started regarding what are you going to do someday when you become of an age when you can't take care or watch over that box anymore. So Mary Jo, why don't you jump in here and tell us a little bit about what journey is going to happen here now to whenever. Where do you think the thing's going to go? And do you think whatever's in there is going to escape?
So with that, like I hopefully, as I get, if I get older, you know, hopefully I live to an age, we do want to build something. It's going to be on our property, or like if we can find a place that we can buy that we can store this stuff in a protected area. So we're not living with it because you should not live with these objects. They mess with your energy. We shouldn't be living together with them, as how I put it. But that's just me. That's how I think. So we eventually want to get a place. And hopefully by that time, I will have dedicated people that I trust with anything. If I've trusted with my life, I would trust them with this, that will take over. If not, I am sure I can reach out to, you know, the Warrens and they would take them. You know, there's only certain ones that would make sure that they got, because I know there's more than just her that's bad in this room. I have a bunch of little ones. There's ones I can't even talk about because they're from private cases that are just as evil as that one. It just, so like I said, I can't stay in this room very long because I get affected really, like headaches, neck pain, weird stuff constantly happens with me in this room because it's energy. And I brought two of my friends in here. Nobody's been in this house since that doll's been in here. And the other stuff I have, but I brought two investigators that are my close friends I trust with the world with. I brought them in here and I videotaped them. And the look on their face when they actually walked in this room, they've been to the most haunted locations. And I don't want to say what they said, but it wasn't a good choice of words. Like, they could not believe the energy. And it's weird because we put a ghost box on and they didn't like her because she was a white witch. They wanted her out of this room. They liked him because, I mean, I don't even know what religion he is. I don't even know if he has a religion, but they didn't like her. They were attacking her. And as soon as she walked out, they were fine as soon as she walked back in. So it was like, it was just really weird. Like they like certain people, but I have to trust those people too, that if they do take care of them, they're going to do the right thing and not sell them and not do bad things with them. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I have them is for that reason, is because If I didn't get those dolls and somebody else did, it probably would have killed them because they would have known. God put them in my hands for a reason. Just again, like with the thing with me waking up the devil and having that devil, I think God had to do that to wake me up to be more involved with the church. And then again, we didn't talk about this, but my third house, the house that I bought, you know, after we had a demonic entity in that house that was attacking my son. So that also brought me into that. That also brought me into the the paranormal field. And having all that together is why I think I was supposed to do this. This was my calling. I was supposed to take these things, help people, and just hold them so they don't hurt anybody else. That's why only I don't get rid of them. I would never sell them. And believe me, when I say this, I've had people have cash for, and I only bring Gretchen around, but I do bring other things around. But at that time I had Gretchen with me, mm-hmm. and the guy offered me $4,000 to take her. I said, absolutely not. You cannot pay me anything to take these dolls or any of the objects. I don't just have dolls. I have more than just dolls. I said, you cannot pay me anything because that's not what I'm doing this for. It's not a cash thing. It's not a money thing. It is, I am protecting the spirits and I'm protecting everybody else in this world from stuff that got put into this from somebody else.
Mm-hmm. But the objects that you have in the room that you're in right now, some of them seem to be what, out versus inside of something more protective. Am I correct on that? And then why do you think that energy doesn't circulate throughout the rest of your house?
So I know when we put Lily in there, and I talked to a couple of the demonologists, and I said, is that can you contain her? And they said, you have to do your daily blessings, this and that. The holy oil in that wood will hold that energy. It cannot put you, it can, they said it can balance out a little bit, but not like a whole bunch. So she used to be across the way, like across the room, but that was my room. So I was afraid that that energy would go into my room to me. So that's why she's as furthest away from me, and right behind her is steps. So no matter what, she can't portray out. But they said as she stays in there, she'll get weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. Not she, but it will get weaker and weaker and weaker. And I noticed when we first put her in, she's been there for a couple of years. So when we first put her in there, we would hear bangs. We still hear bangs in this room all the time, but we got a lot more stuff in here. But as we had her here, that's when I start getting more spiritual objects. So where humans were not put into it, but just attached to that object for whatever reason. And it feels like as I was getting more, she was getting less. So mm-hmm. I feel, and this is again me saying this, I feel that those human spirits were protecting us over her. Mm-hmm. And then I got a couple other objects from people online that were having issues that it was a demonic thing, and I took it. And as soon as I again had issues, again, I recorded them all and everything, got the blood work, whatever I had to do to prove that it was not me that is attacking me or whatever, I could prove that it was truly a demonic entity or, you know, spirit. When I bring it in this room, again, it lessens. But they're all in that same kind of container, the same kind of oil, everything. So it seems like it's more they're in there, the less they get. And also, we don't pay it no attention. Like, and this is what I always tell people: like, when we go to like locations or clients, and they freak out and they start like freaking out, you're feeding that energy. Your energy is scared. They're taking that energy from you, and that's feeding them. So if we see a cabinet door fly open, thank you, shut it. Mm-hmm. One time I went to bed, and as soon as I went to bed, the door slammed shut, and it was like the winter time. I'm like, okay, I laid down. As soon as I got up in the morning, that door flying open. And I'm like, how can that be? And I just went on my day. And my husband's like, what the? I'm like, just go on your day. Mm-hmm. And we do, we ignore it. And even our shepherds, like we would have, like we would come home during the day and they would never even move. I'm like, some guard dogs you guys are. And then one day I had to stay home. I hear, right underneath us is our living room. So I hear bam, boom. And I'm thinking, what the? And I'm looking up like, what is, and I wonder why the dogs weren't getting up, because they hear so much noise up in this room. It wasn't even phasing that we were walking in the door, mm-hmm. you know? So there, it does have a lot of activity up here, but it's not like it's bad. For us, it's not. I mean, one time I had a candle get thrown at me. That was it. But again, I had an object I just got and I literally just put in a box and was sitting on the counter next to that candle. And it did throw a candle at me. It didn't hit me, but it threw a candle at me. I got half of it on video and I just Googled. I'm like, okay, well, you threw a candle at me, whatever. I don't give in on it. I just don't give in on them. And it works. And even like, they say the demonic, we have more control over the demonic. Not too much spirits, because spirits are free will. They have free will. They can come and go. So I can try to chase a spirit out or just say, you need to stop. And it can just come back. Demonic has rules. So I can yell at them and it stops. It does. Like I have a clown back there. One time I walked in here and I saw it. It's, yeah. And this thing is bad. And I proved it. And I brought it to a con one time, a paracon. Didn't tell it. It was a psychic paracon. And there's me bringing this thing in. The person who brought it in, the medium, was deathly sick for about 3 hours because he lifted up the container. And I didn't tell anybody this. And I just had people come up to me like, oh my God, my head. It was always the same side of the head. And the medium who touched it with the case got really sick. And that's what I was experiencing for weeks. The headache, the throwing up, it was ungodly. And I went through all the tests, the COVID tests, everything to prove it was not me that was doing it. And as soon as I put it in that case, it stopped. But then again, everybody at that Paracon felt that. They all knew that that's not human. I'm like, no, it's not. So that was my thing. That's the reason why I took it there. But it wouldn't hurt anybody because it was contained. But yeah, everybody picked up on it. Every single person that was in that place picked up on it.
Mm-hmm. How did your doctors react? I guess that's what I'm thinking. I mean, eventually, did you say, well, I picked up these dolls and woohoo, you know, what happened then? What were their reactions like?
So you remember I was in the hospital. So that when they had to stabilize me first. And once they did, I think it was the first night. I think it was the first night. I'm trying to remember exactly because I know I was in there for like 3 days. So the first night they just gave me the two sets of blood. I had four total when I was there. So I had two sets of two units of, well, whatever you units, the bags of blood. And then the next morning I had, cause I wasn't allowed to eat anything. So I had an endo and a colonoscopy to make sure there was nothing going on. I'm trying to remember exactly. Then I had I know a gynecologist came in and they did the exam there to make sure there was nothing. They asked me about, you know, your period, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And that was all normal, by the way. And then they had a cardiologist came. I had a ultrasound. They did do an MRI of the intestine area. God, and I know they did one on my top of my face. Right. Like I said, it was just like, you remember what, I guess when people don't realize when your iron's really low, your brain is not really working. So I didn't even know what day it was half the time, who I was talking to half the time. I know. And again, it was COVID time. So my husband he only could come at a certain time. So he was there a little bit and then had to leave. I'm trying to remember what else they did. So they did all the tests that a regular doctor and all these specialists were coming. I had a blood cancer doctor. That's who actually was taking care of me the whole time, was a blood and a cancer and blood. And then there was not an infectious disease, but it was something along that line, another blood doctor that would come in. Mm-hmm. And did all these blood works and they were trying to like figure out like what happened. Mm-hmm. So then the one suggested that I had they wanted to go inside and burn my uterus. I'm like, but why? And I said, I'm not having that issue. I let them do it just because I just let them do it. And that caused another issue because they must have did it wrong. So they caused all this bleeding over top of me being anemic. Yep. From whatever this thing was. Yep. So, but yeah, but that was like months later when they did that, they talked me into it. And that was just a mess. Because they couldn't get the blood to stop and it was bad. They were actually, I got to do a hysterectomy for something they did. Mm-hmm. I was normal before, barely even had, because you know, at that age, you're barely having a period anymore. Why are we doing this? And I said, you know what? Their doctors didn't know what to do. Let them do it. And then I bled for 2 months. So then they were constantly giving me the iron because they were like, oh my God, here she goes again. And she's going to, you know, so, but it never went that low because she was already locked up. It never went that low, but they were worried about that, you know?
So they're trying to blame it on something else because they didn't know that. But did you ever mention, did anyone ever mention to them, or did you not really know at the time that it was these, it was, were these dolls that were making you sick?
Yeah, I didn't. When I was at the hospital, I didn't know.
I didn't know.
It was until like weeks and weeks later when people were, you know, I don't know if it was like 3-4 weeks and when friends were saying, listen, put the dolls in the shed. Yeah. Have Bill put the dolls in. And that's when it went to like overnight, it was fine. I'm like, really? Like, and I just like, are you kidding me? Because we weren't having anything happen in the house. Like, I've been doing this for years. Like, there's signs, there's something. There was nothing, nothing at all, complete quiet. So it was just attacking me or just feeding off of me to get whatever it needed.
Is there going to come a point where it loses its effectiveness or dries out where you're going to have to re-anoint that wood so that way it doesn't lessen its ability to contain that hostile energy? Did you ever look into that at all? As to whether or not this is forever or whether or not you're going to have to go round two with that wood again.
See, they never told me that. They said when you keep in there, it will lessen and lessen and lessen. And I do have a prayer that I say, and I do have like holy oil that actually it's all over this room. There's a case, there's stuff everywhere, holy water, just in case if something ever happens to me, I have it, you know, at reach at any place. But yes, they never said that to me. But when we did that, they said you can stain it. You can, you know. So we stained it, and then we also shellac, but it's kind of like another protector.
Seal it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I wanted that just in case. But I never asked them that, and that's a really good question because next time I see them, I will.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to remember. I know they fix the animal case every once in a while. They just did recently.
I would ask them that just because you and I both know that just our regular items in life start to oxidize on, and you can might not even touch something forever or whatever, and then it just oxidizes and starts to break down because that's what stuff does.
I keep on telling my husband I want to make more cases just so I have them just in case. So they did say I could, if I had to ever go in there, just make sure you put holy oil, because I have a bunch of it, holy oil on your hands, never touch it without holy water, and put gloves on it so your skin is not touching that, so you can't transfer, it can't transfer them to you. But make sure you always put holy oil or water, but preferably holy oil on your hands if you ever had to move it. I will never have to move it, hopefully. It's yeah. Never in there. So, and there is like salt on the bottom and stuff like that. There's like other things that we had to do in there to protect it. But yeah, I never thought about that. But again, the other things that I have, they've been in those cases too, the same exact, hers is a little bit more thicker wood because, you know, the other ones are a little bit more thinner, but I think this one's more stronger than most of my stuff I have.
Mm-hmm. Ever found out where the negative energy came from that went directly into that doll?
I did have a little bit of conversation with him. I still have his text messages. Certain mediums wanted me to reach out to him.
Yeah.
I didn't want to because as soon as I got the doll, and I don't think badly of this guy at all. But I don't know if he knows what he was doing. That's the only way I can put it. Cause when I asked him questions, he was honest and told me, but he would send me bee pictures and like, you know, pictures of like 666. And I'm like, why are you sending them? Because I thought you liked that kind of stuff. Cause at that time he could see my wall, what I was on, that I was an investigator. And I'm like, why the bees? And he goes, I didn't send that to you. They did. And if anybody knows anything about the demonic, usually you'll get flies. And we did have an infestation with flies and bees in this room after I did the frankincense. And that one clown that I was just talking to you about, when I got him out of the box and actually wanted to do an investigation, not investigation, but try to work with it to see what it is, two flies, one landed on its foot and one was on the other counter. I'm like, they were not just here. And I took videos of it. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I could not believe within minutes of me putting that doll on the counter, that happened. So I believe that it's an infestation when you have something that's dark. But he would send that stuff to me. And I did ask him questions, who owned this doll, why? And he goes, everybody hated it. People were getting possessed by this doll. Mm-hmm. And I said, why? Because I always hated that doll. I tried to torture it. So that's where the movie got that from, because I had those messages and I showed him like he was torturing this doll. Mm-hmm. I asked him who the doll was from. He said it was his grandmom's doll. From mediums tell me, the medium said it was four girls died, and then she had a fifth son. The fifth son made it, obviously. The four girls died very young. And this was, I'm not sure it was three or four now, I can't remember, but the last child who died, that was Gretchen, was her doll. So the grandmother was very, 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 just loved that doll to death and took her everywhere she went. And even was there, I guess, when she passed away on her bed, and she wanted to be buried with it. And obviously you see she wasn't buried with it. So there was a couple little things. Like, the guy lives in my area, he knows who I am. So I don't want to say too much personal. But yeah, he was never mean to me. I just want to say that. And I protect that doll for his grandmother. Mm-hmm. And that's what she wanted. Because that doll was, she loved that doll. So that's why I'm very protective of Gretchen. And that's why I bought her a new dress and stuff like that. I'm very protective of her because I feel that's the energy of that grandmother coming to through me saying, you need to protect me. It's weird. I was never a doll person ever. I didn't really have dolls growing up ever. And I don't know if Mary was a doll. Her name is Mary. I don't know if Mary was ever a doll person, but then again, my mom was. So I don't know if my mom passing away or having Gretchen is working off on me, but you see, like they just seem to come to me now all the time. And I'm like, another doll. You know what I mean? It's just weird. So I don't know whose energy is bringing them, but one of them is bringing them constantly here because they know I'm going to protect them. Yeah. I'm going to take care of them.
Yeah. It's very interesting. The number one haunted item is a doll. That's not to scare anyone. I'm sure most of you who are watching and listening to this show already understand that. The next thing that falls in line is like, certain furniture pieces, because people put their hands on them a lot. So the energy and the oils from your fingers go into the wood. That is the mystery that does seem to baffle a lot of people, is when it gets inside of them. So
I know when I studied demonology, the first thing they said is the first two haunted objects or demonic objects is from the cult is dolls and jewelry. Because that's the easiest thing to pass off to like a yard sale and stuff. But now you can just go on eBay and they sell them like candy, which I'm not saying they're all like that, but you never know what you're getting. And I always tell people, like, even investigators, they just want to have a haunted doll. Like, you don't.
Yeah.
You don't. If you have a true haunted doll, you don't. I mean, yeah, you think about it, you have a child who, has a lot of trauma, and that they hold that doll, that teddy bear. I have a teddy bear that is from the early 1900s, one of the first teddy bears. It was from an orphanage. Yep. When I got that, I knew it. Like, I already knew everything about this doll before I even got it, because I just had this image. And the child who died, it was an older child, but he died. He stays with that bear because that was the only thing that loved him.
Yep.
Because he was abused and he was holding that doll all the time to cry. And then some people, like mediums, will see it and say, no, it's evil. I said, no, I feel like you're feeling the evil that it was portrayed to him. You're feeling that anger, this and that. You're feeling what that child went through being in an orphanage. Mm-hmm. I said, that's what you're feeling. And again, any object can have that. Your rings, us wearing them all the time, it will hold our energy. Yep. And people, there's two different, there's a bunch of different things why things can have activity or that feeling.
Mary Jo, tell everyone what's happening in your world. Are you doing any events? If people want to reach out to you, tell us what some of the things that you want us to know.
So if you want to reach out to me, I have a Facebook and people follow me just for the paranormal stuff. Like, it's not much paranormal because I try to keep that a little bit different, but it's Mary Jo Chudley on Facebook. I'm the only Mary Jo Chudley on there, so you'll find me. My Facebook page for the paranormal is Penn Paranormal. So it's PENN, like Pennsylvania, So it's Penn Paranormal. You'll see a little white ghost. There's two names. There's two people that have the same name, me and somebody else, but they have it together. Mine's separate. And you'll see the little white ghost. You'll know that's me. You look at, you'll see it's that it's us. We do have like a TikTok, but mostly TikToks for the younger people. We do funny things and stuff with the Annabelle dolls. It's just funny, but there's also paranormal in it. So it's a little different. And of course, the Instagram is the same thing. It's Penn Paranormal, but I think it's Penn _ Paranormal. And the same thing. So it's a mixture of everything. It's paranormal. It's horror. It's everything that to do with, you know, scary stuff. But it's, again, it's an all the mixture because everybody wants to see that. Everybody wants to see paranormal all the time. They want to see funny stuff too. So that's why you kind of mix it all together. Mm-hmm. But those are the three main ones. And I know this is probably going to air a little bit later, but I know we're going to be doing Pennhurst soon. And in May, we're going to also have things with Katrina, you know, at White Hill Mansion in New Jersey, which is an awesome place if anybody's ever been there. And we also get to go to Costa Rica for the second year. We're the ambassadors for the United States again. And also Nick Roth is going to be there with us this year. So Costa Rica is always is one of my favorite things to do because everybody, their spirituality is different than ours. It's like a day and night compared to them. And it's very nice to see other people and how they react with things and how they see things. So I look forward to that every year to go there for their Paracon.
Well, thank you again, Mary Jo, for being on the show tonight.